Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to the Pinkney Show, and I am the Reverend Edward Pinkney. We had a very, very exciting week this week. Reverend Edward Pinkney has filed a suit against the NAACP, and we were in court Wednesday. And I tell you, we put a whooping on them that they would never, ever forget. We have this young lady who's the state president, Yvonne White. She's a real sleazeball. She went in there with the intention of satisfying Whirlpool Corporation. She had met with Whirlpool in order to remove Reverend Pinkney from office for Whirlpool, Harbor Shores, the PGA, Cornerstone Alliance. They all say they want to support the NAACP, but they will not support the NAACP under Reverend Pinkney leadership, because Reverend Pinkney create a major problem for them. That is correct. We have been pounding them, teaching them a lesson that they will never, ever forget. Anytime that you have an issue with a group who claims to be one thing and then start doing other things, it's time for you to distance yourself from them. But before you do so, give them a little whooping. Let them know that you are serious about what you're doing. I tell you, we had a tremendous week. We had the whole courthouse full of people who supported the Twin City Benton Harbor NAACP. But we will talk about that later. Let's listen to a little Martin Luther King.
So even though we face the difficulties of today and tomorrow, I still have a dream. It is a dream deeply rooted in the American dream. I have a dream that one day this nation will rise up and live out the true meaning of its creed. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. I have a dream that one day on the red hills of Georgia, the sons of former slaves and the sons of former slave owners will be able to sit down together at the table of brotherhood. I have a dream that one day, even the state of Mississippi, a state sweltering with the heat of injustice, sweltering with the heat of oppression, be transformed into an oasis of freedom and justice. I have a dream that my four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. I have a dream today. That one day, down in Alabama, with its vicious racists, with its governor having his lips dripping with the words of interposition and nullification, one day right there in Alabama, little black boys and black girls will be able to join hands with little white boys and white girls as sisters and brothers. I have a dream today. that one day every valley shall be exalted. And every hill and mountain shall be made low. The rough places will be made plain. And the crooked places will be made straight. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed. And all flesh shall see it together. This is our hope. This is the faith that I go back to the South with. With this faith, we will be able to hew out of the mountain of despair a stone of hope. With this faith, we will be able to transform the jangling discords of our nation into a beautiful symphony of brotherhood. With this faith, we will be able to work together, to pray together, to struggle together, to go to jail together, to stand up for freedom together, knowing that we will be free one day. This will be the day. This will be the day when all of God's children will be able to sing with new meaning, "My country, 'tis of thee." Sweet land of liberty, of thee I sing. Land where my fathers died, land of the pilgrim's cry. From every mountainside, let freedom ring. And if America is to be a great nation, this must become true. So let freedom ring. From the prodigious hilltops of New Hampshire, let freedom ring. From the mighty mountains of New York, let freedom ring. From the heightening Alleghenies of Pennsylvania, let freedom ring. From the snow-capped Rockies of Colorado, let freedom ring. From the curvaceous slopes of California, but not only that, let freedom ring. From Stone Mountain of Georgia, let freedom ring. From Lookout Mountain of Tennessee, let freedom ring. From every hill and molehill of Mississippi, from every mountainside, let freedom ring. And when this happens, when we allow freedom ring, when we let it ring from every village and every hamlet, from every state and every city, we will be able to speed up that day when all of God's children, black men and white men, Jews and Gentiles, Protestants and Catholics, will be able to join hands.
You are listening to the Pinckney Show, and I am the Reverend Edward Pinckney. I tell you, we had a week this week. We was right on top of it. I mean, we was out there, we body slammed the NAACP. They are so used to bullying their units and their branches around. They do not want you to do anything. They do not want you to stand up for justice, and they do not want you to stand up for the people. But I'm not going to get too deeply in that today. We will be going back to court May 10th, and we plan on spanking that butt again. And on that note, I'm going to bring on Belinda Brown. Belinda Brown, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
How are you doing today?
Good. How are you today? I'm calling you from New Orleans, Louisiana.
Well, bless your heart, girl. How's the weather down there?
It's great. The weather is great down here. We're having the most beautiful weather. But right now, the word on the street, I've been getting calls from every which way, and people want to know, why is the NAACP being sued?
Well, there are several reasons. One, the NAACP is used to bullying the other branches, scaring them into a hostile takeover. But in my case, what they did, you know, we have Whirlpool over here, up here in Benton Harbor, Michigan. And we also have the PGA coming May 23rd through the 27th. We're planning on occupying the PGA. But they were, I guess the NAACP and Whirlpool and the PGA, Harbor Shores, the Cornerstone Alliance, and they all got together, consortium, Marcus Robinson, went and met with Yvonne White and James Gill. They told them that they wanted to support the NAACP, but they would not support the NAACP under the leadership of Reverend Edward Pinckney. They said, so if you can find a way to get rid of him, then we will send you a check. I'm assuming they say a check or whatever, but they use the word support. But anyway, but what Yvonne White and James Gill did, they came up here and started spreading lies. The first thing they said was that Reverend Pinckney and the NAACP chapter of the Twin Cities have not met in 6 months, knowing that we meet every, if we don't do nothing else, we're going to have a meeting. And they know how I am about having meetings.
I know how you are about having meetings, too.
Absolutely. See, you know that if nothing in the world, I'm going to have a meeting.
You're going to have a meeting if you have to meet in the basement. You're going to have a meeting.
That's right. And they, you see, they spread the lie. And they, what they did, they tainted the whole unit of the Twin City. Then they went behind our back. It was planning an election for February 25th. And was not planning to invite anybody from the Twin City branch. They was going to sneak and have an election. And I bust them. They went out and got people to sign up behind our backs.
And what kind of scrutiny is this? Is this got to be illegal for them to do something like that?
Well, if you got a few minutes, I'm gonna give you a little time because to me this is very, very important that this happened for the simple reason they are so used to bullying other branches and getting away with it, but they met their match with me. They were telling everybody in the community that we have done something wrong. They said then after they discovered that we was meeting, we sent them the minutes. Then they came back and said, we had the election. The election is void. Why is the election void? They had to come up with a reason. So they couldn't come up with a reason. So what I decided to do, for them trying to humiliate the Twin City branch, I filed a $100,000 lawsuit against them. We was in court this past Wednesday on April the 11th, and she was trying to bully the judge. She was trying to tell the judge that she had scheduled an election for April the 14th, and they got to have the election to replace me.
No.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
But the judge told her, you're going to have an election when I tell you you're going to have an election. You don't come over here and bully me. So he made her go out in the hallway and talk to her lawyer so they can get their lie together. So he said that what he'll do, He wants them to file a brief by within 2 weeks, and we're going to be back in court May 10th.
Good.
So Elliot Hall and Buck Davis is handling this for me. Those are my two attorneys. Plus, we got the legal guild who's also in support. And nobody can believe that this is happening.
Buck Davis is a civil rights attorney.
Huh?
Buck Davis is a civil rights attorney?
Yeah, yes he is.
Tell me he should feel really good about getting this lawsuit on the table for you because of his civil right position.
Well, not only do he feel good about it, he said, I think they're happy that somebody have called the NAACP and put them on the carpet because most people don't want to do it. Nobody want to challenge these people when they do wrong. And you know, and really the NAACP for the last 30 years have really did basically nothing. You almost have to force them. And here we was doing so much up here, you know, especially in the courtrooms and different things, and they don't like it. They don't like when you do a lot of work. Matter of fact,
well, you know, Pastor Pinckney, I really think that it's about time that they do be called to the carpet. In regards to our country, we take a look around at the state and condition that, you know, we're in and how we're still suffering up under some of these, you know, races and, you know, acts that's going on against, you know, society. That it's, I mean, I believe that it is a witness that the NAACP have not been doing their job. And, you know, I really appreciate people like yourself, you know, that are, you know, calling these people to the carpet, you know, especially when it comes to a corporation like Whirlpool, you know, that has been dominant and controlled over an entire community and got the people so afraid to stand up and speak out and even look out their doors half the time because of the type of rulership and dictatorship that they have against those people there in Benton Harbor, Michigan. You know, so I really appreciate somebody like you, you know, that would challenge the NAACP and to call them to the carpet to let them know that this type of treatment would just not be tolerated. So, you know, I see that this might be an advancement within itself to change the whole state of the NAACP to maybe get the fire up under them again to do what their mission have, you know, stand for.
Absolutely. And my thing is this, if you're not going to do what you say you're going to do, stop charging $30 to become a member. You need to do what you're supposed to do or give the people back their money.
And that is so true. And you know what? People is fed up with that. You know, they want to see action. They want help. You know, it's a crying shame when people pay their $30 to be a member of an organization that's supposed to stand with them and support them in issues, especially the community issues that you're facing there in Benton Harbor. You know, it's a crying shame that people got to be used in this type of manner, you know. And then the NAACP, one of the well-known organizations that's been around for over 100 years, you know, what's wrong? They done went to sleep on us?
Yeah, well, you know, the thing is money talks, they say. They said money talks, and you should. When the judge told this lady that she couldn't have no election on April the 14th, which was yesterday, you should have. She almost had a baby. She was. I mean, she. In order for her to get that check from Whirlpool, they got to have an election before the PGA. That's what they're counting on. And you know,
wow.
And,
so that tells the story.
Yeah. So we have black folks. What we normally do for a few dollars more, we'll do anything. We just, I mean, it doesn't really make any sense at all. She's making a fool out of herself and the NAACP.
Absolutely. That is so true. That's a crying shame. I mean, what kind of money is Whirlpool offering her?
That's what I'm saying. You should have saw her the way she was. She was so mad when the judge told her she couldn't have the election April the 14th. You should have saw. We got to have the, I can't make that decision. But the judge said, I can.
Why would people sell their souls out to these corporations like that?
They That's why we're in this compromising position today. Because people, these corporations have come in and they do whatever they want. They destroy the community, drain it of all its resources, and then what they do, they destroy the people, genocide itself. So, you know, we're dealing with that. But listen, I got about a couple of minutes for you. I'm going to give you a
Did Marcus Robinson play in this, if any at all?
Pardon?
Marcus Robinson, did he have anything to do with this?
Yes, he's the one behind it. That's who they sent. That's who Whirlpool sent. Because, you know, he's a...
Are you
going
to be able to...
He's a
that
funky,
in the court
he's, a
that he's the one that's behind it?
Yeah, well, yeah. He's the one who actually met with them. And Atterbury, you know, Atterbury... Hightower, that little group.
Oh, my goodness.
So they all got together and got the churches together to try to... And look, here's the thing. They're giving them free membership to the NAACP as long as they come in and vote against Reverend Pinckney.
Are they Is they riding around in their Mercedes-Benz and BMWs and all of that, is that what they, Hightower and Atterbury and all of them, they got their new cars and stuff?
Yeah, them flunkies, they got flunky cars. That's what they got. Yeah, they
heard that, you know, you buy them a new car, and then all of a sudden, you know, the tables turn.
That's it. But listen, Belinda, I gotta bring on another caller. Let me bring on Mary. Why don't you stay on the line? Let's listen to what Mary got to say. She's from Atlanta, Georgia. Mary,
right.
Are you there?
I am here. How are you, Reverend Pinckney?
I'm great.
Hello.
Mary. How are you doing today?
I'm praising God. It's a beautiful day in Atlanta. And I just want to say hello to the listening audience and thank you for tuning in. You're hearing about some of the controversy that's going on in Benton Harbor, Michigan. Benton Harbor is a city that's mostly black. The people are under a lot of oppression there. They're doing a land grab, getting the land that the black people have been living on, and the school is located in an ideal situation near a lake. And these people want all of this land for the elite. And that's happening not just in Benton Harbor, not just to black people. Probably not under those particular circumstances, but throughout the nation, the working class, whether you're black, white, Latino, Native American, whatever, the working class is being misused. We're being misused and abused. And I want to say to you taxpayers, happy tax day, 2012. Some of you who work hard are paying more taxes than the millionaires. And we know these things are happening. We have a situation called corporate greed and government misdeeds. And then the organizations that we count on, we rely on, and that we support, like the NAACP and others. There are others. In fact, there are people who are activists, and they're known to be spokesmen for the people, and they're grandstanding, and they're not really effective, and they're not trying to be effective. In fact, Reverend Pinckney is penalized particularly because he is effective. And the organization, the company, Whirlpool, that he is effective against, he is rallying support against the oppression that this company is putting on this community and against the whole concept of the elite coming in and doing a land grab from the people. And these people actually have nooses hanging in their towns. This is ridiculous. This is the 21st century. But someone told me, and maybe someone can confirm it, that the Greg Scott decision is still on record and has never been challenged. And that is that the black man has no rights that a white man is bound to respect by law. Now, I don't know whether that's legal or not, but they tell me that the Greg Scott decision is still on the books. So maybe that's why when my brother was secretly arrested and murdered in Memphis Shelby County Jail, the United States Department of Justice that was over the jail and Shelby County Jail itself told us that they're not honoring our Freedom of Information Act. They're not honoring federal subpoenas. They're not going to tell us how they murdered this disabled black man. So I think that we are in the position of slaves, even more so since the president signed the National Defense Authorization Act on December 31st that authorizes people to be put in military detention indefinitely without any criminal charges and without any explanation as to why they may have to spend the rest of their life in prison. Now, this is the law of the land, that the authorities can come around and knock and get you out of your house or get you off the out of the park or off your job and put you in a concentration camp, and it doesn't have to be in America, and they don't have to say why. So these are the things that our so-called activists and leaders are silent about. These are the things that people tell me they didn't even hear about this bill on the news. But when people like Reverend Pinckney stand up and say, not only did I hear about it, I protested. I will not have it. And he stands up as a president of a chapter of the NAACP, and he sues the organization for siding with corporate America against the people. That is what this is about. Our leadership is siding with corporate America against the people. I hear that some of the unions are doing this. I know that a lot of the so-called civil and human rights activists are doing it. And here's a man who's not doing it, and he's under attack. They're going to take a payout from the corporation to put him out of his office because he organizes marches and rallies against corporate takeover. Now, if you think that is awful like I do, I ask you to read more about it at the BH Banco site. That's BH Banco. And get that address. The address is at the site. For you to please, you support your minister And your minister probably says nothing about all of these home foreclosures. Your minister probably says nothing. But I'll pray for you, dear, when you're discriminated against on your job, if you're still one of the few blessed to have a job in America, your minister may not be addressing any of these problems because I tell you, a lot of these ministers are on Homeland Security. Homeland Security has trained clergy to make you compliant with the martial law and all of these other things that are happening. Yes, they have taken a job with Homeland Security to keep you in check. And if you don't believe it, go online, put in your browser, clergy.
Hello?
Hello? Hello?
Hello.
Wow, she was fired up. I like that sister, whoever she is.
Ralph Pointer, there. Ralph Pointer.
Hold on just 1 second.
Hello?
She said, hold on just 1 second.
That ain't her. Go ahead, go right here. But we look like we lost her. Listen to me. I tell you, she'll get back with us in a minute. But before I do that, let me bring on Roz. I'm taking all the calls in order in the way they called me. I got 44 calls on my board alone. So please don't be offended if I don't get you. I'm going to try to get as many people as possible today. We are having a great day, and I do apologize because I didn't expect so many people to call in. But go right ahead, Roz. Tell us about your story.
Hi, Reverend Pinkney. What a blessing.
Hey, Roz, how you doing? Roz from California itself. Talk to me.
Okay, tomorrow in Los Angeles, downtown, voters injured at work, Governor Brown is having a forum with the head of industrial relations, Christine Baker. You can find it on Facebook, DIAW, Voters Injured at Work. You can contact Reverend Pinkney, and we can get the information to you, or you can email me, rozywow@aol.com.
I have it. That's beautiful. So tomorrow you're expecting a pretty good day tomorrow. Is that correct?
That's correct. I have my red shirt. God bless me. I have my friends taking me again downtown. I get to speak for 2 minutes about my case.
Is that a school board meeting? Tell us again where that is.
It's at the Serra, S-E-R-R-A building in Los Angeles. You know, Father Sarah from all the missions, S-E-R-R-A, 320 West 4th Street. You can call 320 West 4th Street in Los Angeles. You can call 1-800-401-VIAW, which stands for Voters Injured at Work. They'll have T-shirts. They'd like to know who's coming and your contact information, and some people get to sign up to speak.
Absolutely. I think when I was in L.A., I had the opportunity to speak at the school board meeting myself, and boy, did I give them a tongue lashing. And I think that, you know, that I'm on my way back there. I hope to be there some kind of time in June. But I got to go to New Orleans first. But I got to go down. I'm making my rounds. I'm going to be able to do it's a lot of incredible things. But, Roz, you got about a minute and a half to say whatever your heart desires. Go right ahead.
Okay. They're trying to recall Monica Garcia, president of the LAUSD School Board. Tomorrow I will be going to talk about my judge, Gerald Cohen, from Van Nuys Workers' Comp, who got together with Dr. John Stahlberg. Judge Cohen made a medical diagnosis, changed all the facts in my case, my testimony, the documented facts. In 2011, I won the appeal. So
yes.
Judge Cohen put the medical diagnosis, gave Dr. Stahlberg all the trial information and papers, which is unheard of, changed all the facts and my testimony. He gave it to Dr. Stahlberg. Dr. Stahlberg wrote a report for $16,770 to lower my report. If Judge Cohen was a nice person and looked at me and said, I don't like you, Rosie Press, but he's not a nice person, and they found somebody, LAUSD, that would get my rating lowered, so I wouldn't get anything. I wouldn't get medical care. I wouldn't get any money. So certainly, with all the facts, a deal has been made here.
Wow. Hey, you know, you talked about Monica. You know, that when I was there, I'm the one who spoke of the recall of Monica.
That's wonderful.
Fact,
Occupy LAUSD. I saw it on the internet. I put an email to them to talk to them about what I'm going through if they need any of my information to help them.
Okay, very, very good. Hey, Rob, I appreciate you. I'm going to give you a chance to talk at the end of the show, but I got to bring on Mr. Garcia right now, and you just stay with us. You hear? Mr.
Okay.
Garcia, are you there?
Yes, sir.
Talk to me.
Reverend.
Yes.
Reverend, how are you?
I'm doing great. How about yourself?
I'm doing just wonderful.
Hey, that's good.
I was listening to your introduction, and I agree. You know, the corporate America has really put a big dent in our way of life, and it's going to take people to stand up to them and you know, show them that we're not going to take it, you know, sitting down anymore.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we've been snooked, okay? The government has all along been, you know, stringing us along with the dream of a good life while they've been, you know, conspiring behind us. And, you know, you can look at the, you know, the statistics and the status in which this country is in right now, and it's not hard to figure it out. I mean, we have a vast amount of information at our fingertips now, which was not possible, you know, 20 or 30 years ago. But you must understand that the technology that we have now, that we are using now, the government had it long before it became public.
Absolutely.
So you know, I have to share this with the American people, and that is that if the government is gearing, you know, for a one-world government, you can expect, you know, things like takeovers and you know, different rules and regulations and all of them have to do with oppressing the American people, and that's necessary in order to accomplish their goals. And here's a warning to people who express themselves on the computers, you know, on you know, programs like yourself or like the one you have and others like yours, is that the government censors all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And if they ever decided to clean up, you know, the population, they could use everything they know about you from your activity and what you've written down on the computer, the emails, the this, the that, and use it against you as treason. You know, I mean, they're doing all kinds of stuff like that, you know, and they're gearing up for it, and we're participating and unaware that this is all a setup. I mean, you know, you can look at the economy. The economy says a lot about where this country's going. I mean, we've let it, you know, run itself down, and we've gotten that way by big corporate companies that, you know, lobby with, you know, the people in Washington, and they make all these deals and policies and regulations, and we have no say in it. You know, we put these people in power, and then that's it. Their obligation to us is over with, okay? It's all about who they serve now.
Yeah.
Because they're certainly not serving the American people.
Absolutely. And they feel they don't have to.
And they don't have to. Right.
They don't have to. You know, why? The American people is not going to rise up, no way. The day they rise up, one of the things that they did here in Benton Harbor, Michigan, was they got a new tank. that can hold about maybe from 25 to 50 people, fully armed. And what they were doing, they was taking it around the community, exposing it to people, telling them what this tank can do to people.
Uh-huh.
And I was shocked. And you should the news media and everybody was all over it. They published it, how they can use this to destroy homes. They can use this tank to tear your house down, just run it over. And it'll keep going. They can also load it up from the inside. Never have to come out this tank. You can't blow it up. You can't do anything. And you can have 25 to 50 men inside this tank, and they can stay there and don't have to come out. And they were publicizing this tank. Homeland Security bought it for Bering County, Michigan. And I tell you one thing, this is something that people need to know about. They're getting prepared for a war. That's what they're doing. A war here in the United States against the people.
Yeah. Well, see, it's a takeover, okay? It's what it is. The government is big corporate America.
Yeah.
They're the ones that are going to take everything over, okay, because they have the power and the ability to do it. I remember the civil rights movement.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember, you know, how the military came in and how they handled the situation. It was brutality. You know, they forced themselves on the people.
Yeah.
And they made them submit, you know. So, I mean, we know what the government is capable of.
Uh-huh.
And if you've never seen it, if you've never seen the riots, you know, like, you know, the things that have happened in this country in the past, then you need to go back and read up on history and find out what the government is capable of doing to us.
Yeah.
Okay? You know, we can go on and on and on, you know, about, you know, the government. But unless we stand up and take some sort of action, you know, we're not ever going to get anywhere. They're going to, you know, I mean, because they've already got everything in place.
Absolutely.
I mean,
you said it all.
You can look, if you want to see the ability the government has, you know, you can take a look at Waco, Texas.
Yeah.
Waco, Texas at the Koresh thing, you know,
mm-hmm.
where they went in and just, you know, they forced themselves on those people.
Absolutely.
And regardless of what those people were doing, the consequences were you know, extreme.
Yeah.
And innocent people died. Okay.
Absolutely.
Another thing is I don't know if people are familiar with Moody, Texas, but, you know, they made a movie about it. There was a black community,
mm-hmm.
You know, low income.
Yes.
And
oh, yeah.
It was all, you know, with nothing but black people.
Yes.
The police in Moody, Texas, and the DEA went in and raided these people and arrested everyone and the
mm-hmm.
kids and everybody. I mean, just cleaned out the whole neighborhood.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, people need to check that out. They made a movie about it. I don't know the name of it, but
I saw that movie. And I know exactly what you're talking about.
In Moody,
Mr.
Texas.
Garcia, you got about 30 seconds, so you can say whatever you want. And I got to bring on call the 518-3358-22. 2525. Go right ahead.
I just want to let everybody know that I'm still traveling around the country advocating for prisoners' rights. The U.S. Prison Reform Coalition is going strong. We'll be in Atlanta May the 20th down there with Mary Neal and her people. And then we're heading up your way, Reverend Pinky.
Hey, I hope so. Come up to occupy the PGA for us.
We want to be there, and if at all possible, we will. I mean,
all right.
We'll pull up in this big old bus, and they'll know we're there.
Amen. I love it. Listen, Mr. Garcia.
I want to apologize for not having called, you know, in the past. I've been really busy pushing this book, you know, and promoting it. So I was really anxious to talk on your program today, and I appreciate you giving me this time to do so. And I will look forward to speaking with you again and hopefully in the near future meeting you in person.
Sounds good. Listen, you have a good day. Don't hang up. Just hang in there. 518-358-22. I mean, 2525. Are you there?
I'm here, Reverend Pinkney. I've been here all along.
Running back. Ralph?
Yes, I'm in the St. Lawrence Plain. I'm south of Montreal in the United States. And I was hoping you recognized the number. I've been here before. And I was calling on myself.
I didn't recognize the number. And it just so happened you came up next on the list.
Okay,
let me apologize to you.
No, you're my co-host. Let me apologize. I should have called you previously.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm listening. And what I wanted everybody to understand is that you are leading by doing. And you're leading the struggle that must be fought and won. The struggle against corporations, and most important, and I'm going to use a Lynn Stewartism here. And one of the things she says, bravery, is when you speak truth among those that you are most concerned about, your family, your religion, your political party, and your friends. And you have spoken truth about America, and you are leading us by doing, not by merely talking. And what we must do is follow your example and straighten out our institutions, or those institutions that speak in our name that are not ours. For example, our religion. Reverend Pinkney, the gods must be smiling on you. Someone finally doing their work. The unions, the corrupt unions we have that people join. And we support the unions, but we support the corrupt union leadership. We must speak out against them. And when you said burn your NAACP card, burn your union card, burn the card of every institution that works against you. And people were talking about the law. Well, the law has consistently been used against us by the use of the double standard. Now, I don't have to explain that. Anybody who ever got a moving violation, a parking ticket, any type of traffic ticket, you know that they apply the law differently. Double standard to people of color. And up here in the St. Lawrence Plain, they say DWB, driving while black, or DWI, driving while Indian. And you see, they can put that into any form they want. And we must always remember that we had black slave catchers. And when you talk about the NAACP trying to do what they're trying to do to you, I just think of the black slave catchers. These are the black people who work against our interests. And you just, let me tell you, I'm going to be there the 23rd. I want to be there before, marching up and down and getting people out to this demonstration. Because one of the things we have to do is control our institutions. And you are controlling our institution by doing. And we must set that as an example. We must support you. And I know Mary Neal, I just love Mary Neal when she speaks. But Mary, may I say to you, you must continue to tell people where to send their little envelope. When you tithe, you support the institution that you listen to. Well, we're going to have to start doing some tithing for Reverend Pinkney. And we have to, you know, the institutions just don't work for us because they like us, because we're nice people. The institutions work for us because we have something in common. We have a philosophy in common. And more important than the philosophy, but as a contingent of the philosophy, is an action. Mm. We have the thought. We all are together in the thought. But we must all come together in our actions to control and let them see that they just can't bring in a couple Negroes from any place and take over the institutions that are working for us within our community. So, Reverend Pinkney, I'm looking at this date, April 2012. Well, you've been doing this for a couple of years now, so I can't say April 2012. April 2012 is a turning point, maybe.
Yeah.
You know, like that you're turning the corner and finally getting people to turn the corner with you to beat these scoundrels. So I'm beside myself, and I'll just add with my Lynn Stewart moment that I was out in Fort Worth, Texas last week, and her spirits are great. And she talks about, you know, the things that we must do. She talks about your program, but she can't listen. She has to hear it from me because she is in a prison. And so all of our political prisoners who went to jail supporting us, and we have done nothing to support them. They have been in jail 30 years. And you see all of this killing by the police, and now they got Guy Zimmerman running around killing people, and he's not even a policeman. Mm. Why? Because we are ducks at a duck shoot. And our political prisoners were ducks who shot back. And if anybody wants to look at the record, they'll see there were a lot fewer shootings of innocent young black people in our community than there are now, because we had an institution that worked for us and with us. We called them the Black Liberation Army. So now these brothers who are in jail, we must stand up. We say, oh, we're Democrats, we love Obama. Then every person that you vote for better be a supporter of those who supported us, supported our political prisoners. And I'm sure everybody out there knows that the Puerto Rican political prisoners who did the same job for their community are out of prison except for one, because no Puerto Rican politician could get elected if he did not support their political prisoners. We must do the same. We must learn. Those who teach by doing must be followed. Reverend, I'm right behind you.
Ralph? I really appreciate you and everything else, but I want you to spread the word that, you know, we, like, the victory we had against the NAACP this week was a major victory, because they were so sure that they was going to be able to go in that courtroom against Reverend Edward Pinckney and beat us down. But
say
look, Ralph, I want you to tell Lynn.
I will.
You to tell her this. Tell her that, hey, Reverend Pinckney said he loves her very, very much, and I am in full support of her. But listen, I got to bring on Libby, and I'll let you come in, and you have the final word today.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir.
I am, and I'm looking at the website bhbanco.org. That's Benton Harbor, bhbanco.org. And the top post is Victory in Court, and it's a press release. Reverend Edward Pinckney, Benton Harbor, filed a $100,000 lawsuit against the state and national NAACP and its leaders for attempting to oust him as president of the Twin Cities NAACP branch. This would be in Benton Harbor, Michigan, contrary to organization bylaws. The attorney that represented Pinckney in court this week, Wednesday, April 11th, 10 a.m., was Elliot Hall. It was in the courthouse at 2 Woodward Ave in Detroit. Wayne County Circuit Judge Brian Sullivan presiding. There have been, I will just add, articles in the Detroit Free Press about this, which have not really, well, let's just say they have a giant slant, and we know what corporation that slant is going towards. Back to B.H. Banco. Pinckney asked Judge Sullivan to halt the election in Benton Harbor that was to happen yesterday, organized by the state NAACP. Pinckney called it an attempt at a hostile takeover. Whirlpool Corporation employee Marcus Robinson, the person who most likely contacted and persuaded the NAACP to force an election on Benton Harbor, told the Detroit Free Press that Pinckney obstructs efforts to revitalize Benton Harbor. Makes me laugh, yeah. In actuality, Pinckney is fighting for Benton Harbor's self-determination, the rights of citizens to retain control over their land, and much more. Attorney Hall said Pinckney tried to resolve the dispute over the state-imposed election internally, but was completely ignored by the state and national organizations of the NAACP. Pinckney and Hall agreed in the judge's office to delay the election until after a May 10 hearing before Sullivan back in Detroit. The state NAACP was forced to agree, having no legal stand to do otherwise. Pinckney said, the state and national NAACP have met their match in the Twin Cities branch. We're not going down without a fight. For more than a decade, Pinckney's been battling insane racial injustice, police brutality on steroids, and corporate control in Benton Harbor. Honest reporting on Benton, on Berrien County, Michigan, is needed, and that's an understatement. Most citizens in the county of any race are not willing to take action for justice in their courthouse, law enforcement agencies, etc. The county mantra is don't get involved. After talking to many Berrien County residents over the years, it's easy to see that fear of Whirlpool Corporation looms large. The corporation does not play a benevolent role in the lives of those in the county. Quite the opposite. It goes so far as to have people fired from any Berrien County job if they take a stand and become active. There are quite a few people ready to testify to, quote, political, unquote, job loss. Call Reverend Pinckney at any time, 269-925-0001, and you don't find more courageous fighters, really, anywhere than him, that I know of.
Hey, that makes me feel real good, Libby. That's you just hit the magic note. But I, you know, what I like to tell everybody that, you know, we have an opportunity of a lifetime. If we don't start standing up for each other, it's going to be too late. It's going to be too late if we don't start moving forward. Because they already, like I said earlier, they brought this big tank into Berrien County, going around the community, showing it off to intimidate the people. But I tell
you,
it don't intimidate me.
You say C-A-K-E, cake?
No, a tank, T-A-N-K.
Mm-hmm. They did?
Yeah. Yeah, they it's a tank. And tell everybody how many people it can hold, and with full armor, like I care, you know. And it's designed to do that, but that's what it does. But listen, I got to bring on this one caller, 443-618-6183. Are you there?
Yes, Reverend Pinckney. How are you?
Great. How about yourself?
This is Yvonne Murphy Hickman with that crazy man down in Brunswick, Georgia. How are you?
I'm doing great. I'm doing great, young lady. I didn't know that was you.
Yes, it is.
We had so many callers. My board is off the hook today.
It seems like everybody
want to talk about the NAACP, and they're trying to assassinate
you.
Reverend Pinckney.
Well, I'm going to tell you something, Reverend Pinckney. You got it on. I want to remind you that you on top of the NAACP. 20 years ago, when they were doing this breakup between My Bell and AT&T, the union workers at AT&T got the NAACP involved in their complaint against AT&T. AT&T negotiated with Jackson, and they negotiated with the NAACP. When the NAACP and Reverend Jackson got together, with the corporation that you're talking about, the people at the AT&T lost every footage that they had because the NAACP and Jesse Jackson worked out a deal against the people at AT&T to benefit the NAACP. That's what you're dealing with right this minute.
Mm.
And that was 20 years ago, and it's in your face right now. But you, like I said, you took them to court. That's great. I had an issue, and the first thing I did with my civil rights, I went straight to the NAACP in Brunswick, Georgia, in Glynn County, and they turned their backs. What they do with those $30, they use the money so they can give fundraisers. They're not interested in civil rights.
They want me to give a Freedom Fund dinner. That's what they want.
That's
all
right.
They care.
That's what they want to do. They want to give what we call the whoop-de-doo. They want to give them somewhere so they can go in these suppressed black communities so they can put on their fine clothes and high-heeled shoes and suits and ties to go and sit around and eat chicken and talk about nothing and then go back to a suppressed environment with the white folk. That's exactly what's going on throughout. Let me just say this to you. Not only that, I have recently contacted the Congressional Congressional Black Caucus, and four of those members are members of the Atlanta districts. And I know for a fact John Lewis's office, Hank Johnson's office, Mr. Stanford's office, and a couple other people, they did not have time to talk to me about civil rights 3 weeks ago. I even went through the trouble to contact the infamous Marion Barry. He is the grandfather of the civil rights movement. When I got through telling him about what my story is and that I need him in his capacity to stand up to work with young people now as a grandfather of the civil rights, you know what he said to me, Reverend Pinckney?
What did he say?
No. I can't help you. No. Can't help you. Find somebody else. That let me know right there.
He said, find anybody but me. I ain't touching that mess. I ain't gonna make these white folks mad.
Now this is the same remark that came out of Hank Johnson's office. It came out of Jealous's office in WCP. And of course, you know it's true. Al Sharpton is in the same boat. I'm standing right here at Mary Pinckney's front door because I'm visiting here. We got some other things to do today to clean up a little mess that I got going on with these people that's upsetting me. But one thing about it, Al Sharpton has a organization here. And don't you know that I've been talking to his people for over a year? Spoke to his folk while he's down in Stanford, Florida. I'm talking to his folks in New York about my situation and why he hasn't come to my rescue and the fact that I'm not dead, okay? The fact is that he can't. He can't. And it's so true. What they want to do is so true. They want to operate on people who are absolutely dead. What about the people that are living? I mean, all this stuff that came out with the guy that they murdered down in Atlanta here, what was his name? Troy Davis. Oh, there was so much mess about Troy Davis and blah, blah, blah. Well, he's dead now. So now we've got another situation to do with Trayvon Martin. Okay, now that situation is gone. What about the people that are still living?
They can't get
what
no news coverage.
What about the ones that are still living?
You can't get
they
no news coverage
it.
On living
you
people.
You know why? You know why there's no news coverage? Because it's not the benefit of the NAACP to come on board. It's not the benefit of the old civil rights leaders that's walking. I'm so ashamed of Hank Johnson's office and of John Lewis and the rest of these Georgia Democrats. There are members of the Congressional Black Caucus. As a woman of color, who do you go to when you have civil rights problems? You're supposed to be able to go to your people.
You can't go to the NAACP. I can tell you that right now.
To your
you can't go to the Congressional Black Caucus.
I can honestly tell you, you cannot go to the NAACP, and here's
the
reason why.
No, the Congressional Black Caucus. You got Maxine Waters sitting up in there. You've got so many. You got Elijah Cummings from the state of Maryland. You got so many decent black people that are sitting there, and they're sitting under the focus of Congressional Black Caucus, but you call them about those things, about civil rights, they'll tell you, well, you're not in my district. But you're a member of the Congressional Black Caucus, but we can't help you. You're not in our district. Give me a break.
You don't vote for me.
Give me a break. But yet they're members of the Congressional Black Caucus. It has nothing to do with your district. So what you're talking about, so what they try to do to you in court is the same thing they've been doing, God knows, for over 300 years. And I say that because the NAACP was really founded by the Niagara Movement. Those were white folk out of Canada.
Well, that's you know,
white
like
people. White people formed the NAACP, and they changed the name from the Niagara Movement to the NAACP. So really, what you're dealing with is just a bunch of fundraising for black folk to sit up and put on their Sunday best and sit around and eat chicken and veal or whatever they eat, sitting around doing nothing while their kids are being arrested and railroaded into jailhouses.
Wow.
Okay?
And the bad part about the Yvonne, it's not even good chicken.
No, it's not.
That's the bad part. You know they don't give black folks good chicken.
No, they don't.
They give you
the chicken
that's on steroids.
That's right.
Okay.
That's right.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
I just wanted to get that out so you can move on.
I'm glad you did. You did a good job too, Yvonne. But look, let's talk some more next week. I gotta bring on Libby to see us. Libby, Libby, do you have anything else that you want to say? Hunter.
Let's get thousands and millions of people in Benton Harbor in May. May 23rd to 27th, occupy the PGA. They stole land. They stole beachfront property. They have been messing with the people in Benton Harbor for so long. It's an isolated place. Nobody in the state of Michigan practically even understands that it's our own little, I hate to say this, but Palestine.
Mm-hmm. Right on, Libby.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Right on.
Ralph, go right ahead.
Yes. Well, I would just like to say that Cynthia McKinney, the Honorable Cynthia McKinney from Georgia, told us a long time ago that our government, all of it, black and white, et cetera, has been hijacked. We have no government. And she could have added, our institutions have been hijacked, and they were started out as a hijacked institution just to use us. So we must continue the struggle that Reverend Pinckney, the firestorm that Reverend Pinckney has started. We must blow air into it. We must force these people to support us, and we can begin by supporting ourselves. This is a must. Thank you, Reverend. I know I'm going to have a full discussion with Lynn about this, and we're going to have that victory tour with the Pinckney Stewart, you know, the pastor of the people and the people's lawyer, to talk about all of these issues we are fighting about right now.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Okay,
let me see if I bring Mary back on. Mary, you only got about 30 seconds, and only take 30 seconds. Go right ahead.
All right, Reverend Pinckney, thank you so much. They cut me off as I was about to say, clergy response teams. Your ministers work for the Homeland Security. Look it up, clergy response teams, and get your ink pens out and your checkbook and write an offering to a clergyman who is really doing the work of God. That's Reverend Edward Pinckney, and his address is at BHBANCO. Look online and write your next check out to Reverend Pinckney and encourage him. He is doing the work of God. Look online, Mary Neal, Reverend Pinckney, and find out more information about this. And I just thank you all for tuning in, one for all and all for one. We must learn to unite.
That's beautiful. And listen, I just want to remind everybody that you must boycott all the World Food products, including KitchenAid, which
right
is sponsoring the PGA. What they're doing now, their credit is so bad that now they're going to turn it all over to KitchenAid. That's going to be the main, you know how companies split up? This is what Whirlpool is trying to do right now, but we're going to stop them. We're going to let them know that we're not taking this mess no more. Also, Occupy the PGA, May 23rd through the 27th. You have to be here. This is going to be too exciting not to be here. So come.
Right on.
May 23rd through the 27th, and let's have a good time. And we have just ran out of time.
Good night, brothers and sisters.
I will talk to y'all soon, and let's hang in there. And Ralph, anytime you have a different number, you better call me. God bless y'all.
Thank you.
All right, now.
Okay, love you all.
Bye.